Speaking to the American people and listeners around the world in his January 2002 State of the Union address, President George W. Bush capped his discussion of the nation's new and unexpected war on terrorism by saying, "The enemy of America is not our many Muslim friends. It is not our many Arab friends. Our enemy is a radical network of terrorists and every government that supports them. We are not deceived by their pretenses to piety. They are not imbued with the spirit of religion, these terrorists. They only claim to be." The president's message echoed sentiments heard throughout the country in the aftermath of the attacks of September 11, 2001. The destruction of the World Trade Center, the crash into the Pentagon, and the killings aboard four hijacked planes could not have been the work of men who earnestly saw themselves fulfilling God's wishes. They could not be adherents of any of the world's three great monotheistic faiths. Bush returned to the theme repeatedly. "The terrorists are defined by their hatreds. They hate democracy and tolerance and free expression and women and Jews and Christians and all Muslims who disagree with them," he told the members of the German Bundestag during his visit to Berlin in May. "Others killed in the name of racial purity or the class struggle. These enemies kill in the name of a false religious purity, perverting the faith they claim to hold." These were words of condemnation, but also of reassurance. To millions of American Muslims, the fastest-growing religious community in the country, they sent a message of solidarity and understanding at a time of harassment and alienation. In Germany and other European countries with proportionally larger Muslim populations, they helped calm domestic tensions. To U.S. friends abroad, from the Maghreb to Indonesia, they signaled American respect for Islam at a moment when governments friendly to Washington were under fire from large parts of their citizenry, which believed America gave Muslims second-class treatment. For all three audiences, one point was crucial. America was declaring, and rightly, that the vast majority of the world's Muslims should not be tarred with the deeds of the hijackers. These acknowledgments were important not only for atmospherics, but to enable foreign governments to sustain law enforcement and intelligence cooperation with the United States in the fight against the new breed of terrorists. There were other benefits to the president's rhetoric, but the sum of all these virtues is not the same as the truth. For the fact is that the attack against America on September 11, 2001, was an act of consummate religious devotion. Those who perpetrated it were deeply pious. They expressed their motives in indisputably religious terms, and they saw themselves as carrying out the will of God. "Consider that this is a raid on a path," Mohammed Atta wrote in the document that he and his co-conspirators used as a kind of final psalm. "As the prophet said, a raid on the path of God is better than this world and what is in it." The hijackings were the performance of a sacrament, one intended to restore to the universe a moral order that had been corrupted by the enemies of Islam and their Muslim collaborators. There is no gainsaying President Bush on this account. He said what needed to be said, held tight the ties that bind America to important allies, and reaffirmed tolerance at home. And in fact, after the 1998 bombings of U.S. embassies in East Africa, the authors of this book helped draft similar language that President Clinton used to describe the perpetrators of that atrocity. "I want the world to understand that our actions today were not aimed against Islam, the faith of hundreds of millions of good, peace-loving people all around the world, including the United States," he announced after the U.S. launched its missile strikes against terrorist training camps in Afghanistan and a chemical plant in Sudan. "No religion condones the murder of innocent men, women, and children. But our actions were aimed at fanatics and killers who wrap murder in the cloak of righteousness and in so doing profane the great religion in whose name they claim to act." But neither president's necessary and useful political speech should obscure the realities of September 11th. The motivation for the attack was neither political calculation, strategic advantage, nor wanton bloodlust. It was to humiliate and slaughter those who defied the hegemony of God. It was to please Him by reasserting His primacy. It was an act of cosmic war. What appears to be senseless violence actually made a great deal of sense to the terrorists and their sympathizers, for whom this mass killing was an act of redemption. Only by understanding the religious nature of the attacks of September 11th can we make any sense of their unprecedented scale and their intended effects. And only by doing so will we have any chance of understanding the enemy and arriving at a plan for defeating it, a task that began with the war in Afghanistan, but could take a generation to finish.